Hello, America, and all of our listeners all over the world. You're listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I'm your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me as always is Chris Sologi. Say hi, Chris.
Hello.
Yeah, it's just going to be us two tonight. But we're certainly not going to be lacking for news to talk about because, holy crap, some serious stuff went down this week.
Oh, yeah.
Mostly having to do with a certain stock. Yeah,
that small story we had on day zero ended up becoming the biggest thing.
The big story of the week, yeah. It just ballooned outward much faster than we thought it would.
GameStop is showing the cracks in our Wall Street system.
Yeah. And people for the first time are realizing that Wall Street is basically a giant money casino.
For the rich people.
Yeah. And don't think that the rich people haven't noticed, because they're kind of not happy about the fact that the facade is showing.
Yeah.
Obviously, we got some other stuff to talk about. Fortunately, we got more COVID-19 stories to talk about, including we got some vaccine stuff that's partnering, but also the numbers are kind of starting to climb in certain parts of the country again. But they're also declining in other parts as well. So, yeah, your guess is as good as ours. And we also know that impeachment trial will be going ahead. We'll be talking about that. And, of course, President Biden has signed another couple of executive orders, mostly to reverse some of the orders of the previous administration. Oh, yeah, and you remember Dominion, that software company that everyone started to talk about, and certain individuals started spreading conspiracy theories that they were somehow created in Venezuela to help Hugo Chavez win elections? Yeah, they're not happy about that, and they are suing a couple of people for libel. They are suing a couple of people for libel, and one in particular, they are suing him for billions of dollars. That's billion with a B.
Yeah. That means some words.
Yeah. And of course, we're going to have some entertainment stuff for that as well. But before we get to all that, Chris, what have you been doing this week?
Been doing a good bit. The last couple days here have been freezing cold. I'm talking about single digits.
Yeah.
Which has been fun. Like, it's sort of cold where you are driving and your breath is just fogging up the windows and it's icing up before you can wipe it off. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is like, oh, this is nice. It's nice and cold. And yeah. Tomorrow we're supposed to get up to 7 inches of snow, so that'll be fun. Luckily, I don't have to go out, so.
Yeah.
Depending on how the weather is, I might actually go out and get some food or something, but maybe not. But been watching some stuff. WandaVision, the new episode came out. And yeah, this is kind of the episode this is the episode that kind of opens things up. If you've been kind of wondering what was going on, this is the one that just kind of lays out most of it. And kind of ties it into the MCU.
Really?
Particularly the events of what is it? Infinity War? Showing people, well, I guess it would technically be Endgame, people coming back from the disappearance or the blip, whatever they call it. And that whole weird process where, you know how they go out, like turning into ash and disappearing. Coming back is the opposite of that. The ash, like reforming. Which is a whole weird thing. And people coming back, especially when they're in the hospital, is like the one scene they show. And it's like the idea of them coming back, thinking they were just there, realize having to come to terms with like 5 years past, and then life having moved on and that kind of stuff.
Mm.
Other kind of weird stuff that Endgame kind of dealt with early on in its story. Mm-hmm. So there's some good stuff there, and there's also kind of I think the season's kind of really structured weirdly. I'm not sure if mm-hmm. it's going to pay off, but some of the stuff that they've like revealed here is like stuff that seemed pretty obvious. Mm. The subtext of what they're showing for like what they're trying to figure out for the future may also be as obvious as it seems. I don't know, but it's been fun so far. Curious to see where it goes and how it further kind of ties into the MCU and all that. But we'll see. Also been watching more Bob's Burgers. Still a lot of fun. Season 6 now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been fun. Some good episodes there. And yeah, I just realized, I think I looked it up, like who did voices, and realized that Linda and Tina are not voiced by women. They're both men.
Nope. Yeah, they're just kind of weird.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That also prompted me to look up and see who voiced Jason in Home Movies, and like that was H. John Benjamin. I was like, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So I did not realize that was him. Because there's a character that shows up that sounds like Jason. I was like, oh, that sounds like Jason. Who is that? I was like, ah, damn it.
Mm.
Is that guy. But yeah, it's been fun. Still going to work through it. Been playing some games. I started up 13 Sentinels. I'm like an hour and a half in so far. Been pretty good so far. I like the way they let you kind of like lore stuff they add to like this thought bubble thing mm-hmm. where you can like expand on a little bit more in their inner thoughts, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And eventually have to kind of come back to what's actually happening and like use that as like topics to bring up to other people. Mm-hmm. Though so far it's just been pretty straightforward stuff. The combat stuff seems pretty neat, but it's still kind of walking me through tutorial stuff
mm-hmm.
So far. And the yeah, the time travel stuff seems pretty neat.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's been that so far. I dipped into auto chess, so which is on PC.
How far into the game are you?
I'm on my fourth character's prologue.
Oh, okay.
The combat they just showed me how to do like the special, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. The prologue is probably all 13 characters have their own prologue. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still trying to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
And of course, when they get
none of it. Yeah, just trust me. If none of it makes any sense at first, don't worry. It will all make sense in the end, I promise.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I just find it weird that the one girl that like summons the first mech by like swiping her leg or something like that, she mm-hmm. gets in and she's like, what? How'd this happen? I was like, you clearly summoned it. I don't know if mm-hmm. it's intentional or not, but... It's like some weird stuff like that where people are getting these mechs and not knowing that they have this ability or something like that.
Yeah, trust me, they explain it.
Yeah.
They'll explain it. Everything that seems weird and that they will explain it. Just
yeah. How long is the game, would you say?
Well, the great thing about it is that you can kind of go at it at your own pace. And there are like the thing is there are certain storylines that won't open up until you have gone through certain story arcs with other characters. Theoretically you can actually get, but here's the thing, when the game proper actually starts, you're essentially going to have like three different parts that you can basically go to at your own pace. There's the story part, which is, you know, the character adventure thing. There's the battle part, which is the strategic mech battle stuff that you've been just been exposed to. And then there's the analysis part, which is where it's basically like a data compiler of like all the people and stuff and things that you've seen. And you can basically go at it at your own pace, but parts of one particular part of the game will not unlock until you've done a certain amount on another part. So certain characters won't be unlocked until you've done the storyline for some other characters. And also certain progression won't happen until you've done some of the battles in the strategic part. So it's kind of at your own pace, but they do set sort of a limit at how fast you can go.
Okay. Yeah, and they have a lot of nice features, I think, for...
Yeah, you will find out that is for the best, because although it doesn't seem like it at first, both the strategy part and the adventure part are actually linked with each other. Even though it seems kind of obtuse at the moment, they are. There will be a moment when you finally get to that point and it'll click in your head what's going on. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and I like the things they have set up for the features, like, hey, how much do you want the auto advance, how quickly you want that to work, that kind of stuff that is pretty nice. And I do like you can just save whenever. So I've had times where I just started up a prologue, had something I need to do and just save and quit out and come back. And it loads really quick, too, which is really nice.
Mm-hmm.
There are plenty of games out there where it's just like, no, you can't save during this chunk.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of stuff. So it's really nice when you got a game here that respects your time, I think, pretty well.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's been fun so far. I checked out Auto Chess, which is on PS4 now.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what I'm doing in that game.
Mm-hmm.
I've gone through the tutorial, which just basically teaches you the controls, but it doesn't teach you much of anything else, like the strategy or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And for people that don't know what Auto Chess is, it was a former Dota 2 mod that had this like automation of, it's not actually chess, but you're playing on like a chessboard and the characters move around and automate and have moves that they will eventually do, that kind of stuff, as their mana builds up and all that. And you are sort of between matches, you are buying new units for your group and trying to, if you get three of them, you can combine them to have a 2-star unit. I think you do that again with another 2-star.
Yeah.
Set to get a 3-star kind of thing.
Yeah.
Then those are more powerful units and all that kind of stuff. Problem is, I just get stuff and I'm like, okay. Like, I just did a match before we did the show that I just had doubles, never got the third part until like late in the match where I was pretty much already out of it because I lost like 10 straight matches. It's really confusing and all that, so I don't know how much more I'm going to play, but I might look up a guide or something that can tell me, like, what the hell am I supposed to be doing, because this game sure as hell has no interest in telling me.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, all the match types they have so far is just like, oh, there's, like, a casual, playlist, a ranked playlist, and I got to level up to get some others, a couple other things. They do have like a Steam style, like workshop type of matches.
Mm-hmm.
It might be like, oh, here's all legendary characters to choose from, and a lot of weird types of things they have in there. As a battle pass, as you might expect, it does cost money. And as far as I could tell, even just leveling through it just from the free parts, like, it doesn't seem to give out any of the paid currency in it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of annoying. It's the first one I've seen that doesn't give you any way of like earning back the next one. Mm-hmm. That a lot do. So I have no idea how am I supposed to enjoy this game?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's Auto Chess. Still been playing Crimson Land. I've mm-hmm. beaten the main set of quests that unlocks all the weapons, the perks, and the leaderboard modes. So been enjoying that. I'm number 6 on one of the modes in the world. I think it's the, I think it's called Nukefism, like pacifism, but you're running around. And it has like 3 or 4 different types of power-ups that drop, but you can't do any attacks. So you're just like running around zombies and spiders trying to set off some of the stuff that lets you run around fast, set up. Well, yeah. Thank you, Craig, for joining us. They set off the nuke attack and a couple other things. It's a neat little mode that's kind of the opposite of what the rest of the game is like. And yeah, so I'm like top 25 in most of the modes, which is nice. Still trying to figure out how to get some higher scores, but I'm working on it. Playing some more Fortnite. I got a win recently. That was pretty nice. Kind of got down to like one of the last couple circles there could be, which is like a very tiny circle. That ended up with the guy was on top of a building, building out towards the circle, and I was just under it. So eventually figured out there's no way this person could be up here, so he jumped down and I just killed him pretty quickly. So that's a lot better than the one where a guy just fell off a building and like won because he killed himself because he didn't realize how far he could go. So yeah, and I've got Predator in that game now.
They
added that, which I had to go to a specific like walled off jungle area and like search for him and kill him, which was took a while because I had a few like encounters and he ran off and I had to just keep running after him. And I eventually got him killed. So that was good. So you get that, the base like mining is the like blades he has on his wristband. So that's kind of the main mining weapon he has. Done some quests to get some of the other stuff, like the backpack can be like a hunting trophy on there. There's a few other things. There's one of the quests is really hard. It, once you use thermal vision, but it's not an ability that the suit has. So I have to like find a specific weapon that has thermal vision on it. And I haven't found any of those, so I probably won't get everything, but I've got most everything I want out of that. So that's nice. I think they just added, what was it? One of the ninjas from G.I. Joe. I forget what the name is for that character. That one. Added him as a paid character. So it's probably like $20 to get it. He's like, okay, sure. This is the season where they're just doing the Ready Player One thing. Just saying, whatever.
Just throw it in there. It'll work.
Yeah. Then I got Cyber Shadow, which has been pretty fun. It's,
I got it, too.
It's published by the Shovel Knight guys and very much influenced very much influenced by games like Ninja Gaiden and other like NES action games, Strider and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's much, much more user-friendly. But still not without its ability to just kick you in the nuts whenever it wants. Because I think the main issue I've had is that when you respawn at a checkpoint, enemies respawn near there. Even if they're ones that are, you know, below or behind a checkpoint. So I've had one particular checkpoint where there's just a flying enemy hanging right next to it. And as you're trying to continue on, it can just come in and just fuck with you.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's no real reason that it needs to respawn. So every time I had to respawn there, I just went over and killed it first before I went to continue on.
Yeah.
But The bosses aren't, bosses are probably the easiest part of the game, I'd probably say.
Yeah, that's the first couple I've been. Yeah, no,
I did beat the
that.
So far, I've been able to get them in one or two attempts.
Yeah, no, that that you no. Once you get further in the game, the difficulty level immediately goes up.
Yeah, I did beat the one guy, the other ninja dude. Which I basically, he just stands there for most of the beginning. You're just sitting there, just wailing on him. Some shots that are basically set right at the point where you're just gonna probably stand there and hit him, just to tell you like, back off, asshole. But then he jumps up into the air and I happen to be behind him when he lands and I killed him off that way. And he's like, oh, you cheated. You have no honor. And I guess has two different outcomes depending on how you beat him. If you get behind him the honorless way, he bitches about it. That kind of thing. So I got the shuriken switch. That's where I'm at right now. That stage. But yeah, liking it so far. Looks really nice. Some nice music. All that kind of stuff. Plays pretty well. So I'm looking forward to put some more time into that. And that's been pretty much it. How about you, Brandon?
Well, as for me, yeah, I'm playing Cyber Shadow as well. And yeah, that game is that game, it starts off looking like it's a straight ahead Ninja Gaiden type clone, but it opens up fairly quickly. I wouldn't go so far as to call it like a Metroidvania type thing, because you're not like constantly backtracking or anything, but there is a small amount of backtracking that is involved, and there's also a progression system that's in play, even though you don't see it immediately. Once you end up having to go to what they call the ethos, which is when you end up going in front of these shrines and then getting some of your getting some abilities like wall climbing and stuff like that. Yeah, the game kind of opens up. And yeah, the music's really good. It is important to emphasize, although this is a Yacht Club game that is published by them, it is not a game made by them. The game is made by a company called Mechanical Head, and it was basically made by one dude. The only thing he didn't do was the music. It's definitely very good. This game will kick your ass, though. Like, just no joke. This game gets very hard.
It's a game that punishes you for trying to rush through it.
Yeah, this sort game like will. Yeah, this game will absolutely turn up the difficulty on you in the blink of an eye. And that is especially true once you have gotten past the first like main boss, because much like with Mega Man or whatever, you often have like a mini boss or two before you get to the actual like main boss. And that first main boss, who is really kind of difficult on his own if you starting out, because you don't quite have all the various abilities yet that you can use to take on the tougher bosses. It gets a lot tougher later. But yeah, it's what keeps you coming back is that it's just a damn good game.
Really you did pretty solid. Well with the points.
Yeah.
Which is not a hallmark of the games it's influenced by.
Oh, yeah. And for a kind of generic story, it's still gripping me. So.
Yeah. I gotta figure out why he's leaking.
Yeah, why? Because he keep leaking. yeah, other than that, I'm also playing Final Fantasy VII Remake, which is, you know, still doing really well. Okay, did you ever play the original Final Fantasy VII?
Yeah.
You have? Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know Biggs and Wedge at the very beginning, those two dudes that, you know, Biggs, Wedge, and Jesse, the three people that are in your party at the beginning, they don't really last all that long?
Yeah.
Yeah. They have definitely managed to exist longer in this game now than they did in the original. It's, you know, because, and not only that, but we just ended up getting we just got attacked by those weird specter things that have been, like, plaguing us since the beginning of the game. And, like, yeah, like I've said before, this is one of those examples of where it's very obvious that they're trying to do something different with this game other than a straight remake. And the fact that Jesse, Biggs, and Wedge have managed to live this long seems to imply that they might actually survive the game. But then that brings up the question, so if they're the ones who survive, then who's the one that's going to be taking their place? You know, who are the ones that are actually going to die? And I don't know. I really don't know. And other than that, you know, just the usual anime books, blah, blah, blah. You know how it goes. Nothing really significant on that front. Also, we finally got rid of the last vestige of the Trump legacy in our household. My mom still had a bumper sticker on the back of her car. For the record, it wasn't like she was keeping it there to be stubborn. I think she just forgot that it was back there. But we went back there and removed it. So, this house is officially clean.
I saw a guy today that had a hoodie on with the Confederate flag as like the entire thing.
Yeah.
I was like, sure, that sure is a look. 2021. You could tell people are like looking at him, being like, am I really fucking seeing this? I don't think anybody said anything, but someone's like, okay. Good luck with that.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That shit's still out there.
So I think that's basically it for that. So do you got anything you want to add before we move on?
No, go ahead.
No? Okay. All right then. Well, now it's time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And very briefly, we're just going to talk about that fun little topic that just lightens up the morning. Adolf Hitler. So Adolf Hitler was a lot of things. He was basically a failed soldier, a failed artist, a terrible writer, a guy who somehow was able to be charismatic enough that he could get a bunch of people to do awful things, and ultimately goes down as one of the worst, if not the worst, criminal of the 20th century. But what a lot of people don't know about Hitler is that he was also a huge drug addict. And not necessarily just for what you think. So after the war, a lot of soldiers ended up getting addicted to morphine. Now, anybody who knows anything about, especially here in America in the 21st century, is one of the biggest problems we got here is the opioid epidemic. And basically, what is morphine? It's like opium in probably its purest form. And in small doses, it's a great painkiller. Use too much of it, though, and you become, well, hopelessly addicted to it. And Hitler was no different. This is also kind of combined with the fact that he was also really, really into methamphetamine. So So yeah, we're getting that white trash checklist just checked off real quick, aren't we? Once again, because he was a soldier out in the field, that usually meant that you kind of had to go and do a lot of shit with very little sleep. And what's something that helps you do a lot of shit with very little sleep? Methamphetamine. So he did a lot of amphetamine. But here's the one thing that he had to deal with that was probably the most hilarious. See, Hitler had a problem with his gastrointestinal tract. See, he had a rather extreme diet. Now, anybody who knows anything about like what things Germans eat, you know, they know they, you know, lots of sausages, which, you know, is fine. They also eat a lot of sauerkraut. And he basically suffered from uncontrollable farts.
As one does.
Yeah. So because of this constant, just unending flatulence he suffered from, he ingested up to 28 different drugs at a time. He did oral drugs like powdered cocaine to clear his sinuses or, quote, soothe his throat. He would inject extracts of things like seminal vessels like testes and prostata from like young bulls. And he could not just get this shit under control. If you've ever seen like the little bits of like footage of him, like very close, like as he's in Berlin, as like the D-Day is happening and like the Allies are invading Germany, if you ever look at him, you'll notice his body is shaking and he is tweaking like a motherfucker. And a lot of people for a long time thought that this was because he was having like onset Parkinson's disease, which may have been the case considering, you know, I mean, under the insane cocktail of chemicals he was ingesting, actually detecting Parkinson's disease would probably have been a bit of a chore, especially with 1940s medicine. He was definitely tweaking. And a lot of that was because he couldn't stop his farts. And that has been yet another edition of Brandon's Random Factoid. Yay. So, you know, anything that makes Hitler a more embarrassing, stupid character is just great for me.
Yeah.
All right. So, moving on from there, it's now time to start the show proper. And as always with the show proper, we start off with our assholes of the week. And as you can probably guess, a lot of this is going to have to do with the one story that basically dominated all of this week, which was the GameStop Wall Street situation. Now, to basically just sort of summarize what happened here up to this point, more or less. GameStop. Yeah, I can kind of do it. GameStop, which is a company that, I like, okay, but let's be honest, they haven't been doing very well the last few years. Physical game copies are just being phased out entirely, their whole business model is kind of, well, insoluble.
You can't prop a business on Funko Pops.
No. So, because of that, there's obviously a lot of people out there who make their bets on short selling. Hedge funds, basically, who essentially bet to see, you know, how low a stock they expect to go before they cash out. But then,
no, it's a little bit different than that. But
well,
it's basically like rich people.
Low.
It's rich people exploiting companies that aren't doing well.
Yeah, basically. And there was this one particular hedge fund called Melvin's, who was getting ready to get a huge payout if GameStop's price dropped below a certain point. And so a subreddit on Reddit called Wall Street Bets, basically decided, hey guys, what if we just did this thing where we all got together and we bought GameStop stock at the price it is right now, but instead of selling it when the price goes up, you know, buy low, sell high, as the mantra goes, we just hold on to it for a while. And they did. And it worked. Yeah. GameStop's stock price soared to basically record levels. It wasn't like through major stockholders or anything either. It was like people using, you know, like apps like Robinhood and stuff to buy like these small shares or even fractal shares. And then holding on to them and not selling them. And the thing was, it wasn't just GameStop either. It was also AMC. AMC also ended up sort of getting roped into this as well. And their stock ended up going up fairly high. And the freaking financial world lost its goddamn mind.
Yeah, because normal people were exploiting it. And they're not supposed to do that.
Oh, and then it got worse because suddenly those little apps that do that, specifically Robinhood, suddenly decided, you know what, we're not going to let people buy any more GameStop stock. We're just going to stop that happening. We're going to stop them from buying and selling it. Just
showing the irony of their name.
Yeah. Showing the irony of their name, but also showing very clearly once and for all that the whole system really is rigged against the little person.
Yeah, because once they were blocked out of doing this, the stock price started tumbling.
Yep. And it showed basically that everyone that was paying attention for so many people for the first time realized, you know, Wall Street and the stock market really doesn't mean shit in the long run. You know, Wall Street is not the economy. The stock market is not the economy.
Yeah. The press secretary for Biden was basically saying this.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, saying a thing that people should know about Wall Street, which is not, it's not about the economy. It's about rich people spreading their money around and hoping to exploit.
Yeah.
Anything they can for their own game. Richer.
Yeah, it's Wall Street is literally a casino for rich people. It's all it is.
Yeah, with less of a chance of losing out.
Yeah, and it gets worse because then the big hedge fund dudes actually open their mouths, and suddenly people realize one, how absolutely godforsakenly just out of touch they were, and two, class war is real, brah. Because Leon,
you know, when people eat the rich, people are getting hungry.
Leon Cooperman, who's a rather infamous hedge fund billionaire, who's infamous for that one time he went on, I can't remember if it was Fox Business or CNBC, one of those big financial channels, and basically cried his ass off because people were being mean to the rich people.
Yeah. He was on CNBC.
He basically did the same thing here on CNBC. Basically saying that, you know, we need to all come together and stop trying to make it poor versus rich and all this. I'm like, bruh, you're the problem. That's kind of what everybody's starting to realize now.
As he says here, I'm not damning them. I'm just saying from my experience, this will end in tears. GameStop is not worth $500, not worth $400, not worth $300, not worth $200, not even worth $100, not even worth $50. And then goes on to say, people who are sitting at home getting their checks from the government, basically trading for no commissions and no interest rates, are responsible for this. Let's see. And they also asked about the idea that billionaires like him aren't paying their fair share in taxes. And he said, I hate that expression with a passion. What does fair share mean? I'm only work 6 months a year for the government, 6 months for myself, which means a marginal tax rate of 50%. If you live in California, Connecticut, New Jersey, New York, you're already well past that. This fair share is a bullshit concept. It's just a way of attacking wealthy people.
Yeah, just which so is you the know, yeah. Leon Cooperman owns a tax firm that specifically finds ways to make sure that he pays less taxes. So he is.
And he's also been charged with insider trading a few years ago.
Yep.
Paid $4.9 million in fines without admitting guilt.
Mm-hmm. So this motherfucker is. Like, if you want the, just an actual, like, the platonic example of the rich, greedy bourgeoisie, Leon Cooperman is basically Exhibit A.
Yeah. And they have some good tweets here of people shitting on him.
Oh, yeah.
Here's one from Austin Walker. I don't have any of the naive pretension that the Wall Street Bets crew is some selfless proletariat uprising, but by God, if these CNBC hedge fund motherfuckers aren't the easiest people in the world to hate, fuck them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Eat shit, old man. People like Leon Cooperman think that they were born smarter than everyone else, giving them a right to hoard wealth and a right to exclude you from it. This is called white supremacy. Yeah, Cooperman complaining about what's going on reminds me of Lars from Metallica whining about Napster.
Yeah.
If he's seeking compassion for his position, he's not doing it very well.
Nope.
Yeah, go ahead.
Here's the thing. In spite of all that, stocks still ended up posting their worst month since October of last year. So.
Yeah. Also, the thing I think people need to know about the GameStop stuff is that most of that activity was not from the normal people. It was rich people profiting off of the increases. Hedge funds did go out of business as a result because they were shorting this whole thing and betting that
Melvin's in particular basically had to. Yeah, Melvin's in particular basically had to go at a loss of like something billions of dollars.
Yeah. And people are like, oh, what about people's 401ks and all that? It's like, I would hope your 401k is not betting on this kind of shit.
Yeah.
It would be going over reasonable stuff that would not be so volatile.
Mm-hmm.
Because GameStop stock is not something that is steady.
No.
So yeah, if yours is, somehow you need to be finding the right people to speak up about this.
Yeah, if you're putting your 401k into some kind of hedge fund, it would probably be a good idea to put it in something that doesn't trade on something that risky.
Yeah.
Make sure that you make safe.
I think it would generally go over like general funds, general stocks, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff that's more likely to keep going up.
Yeah. And now we now know that the SEC is going to get involved. They're investigating the situation for abusive practices against retail investors.
Yeah, definitely. Elizabeth Warren was pounding on this. AOC was. Which, the hilarious thing is AOC was basically saying, like, we need to investigate, bring in the people running Robinhood and see, like, what the fuck was going on. Mm-hmm. Ted Cruz responded saying, fully agree, and people were like, oh my God, they both agree on something. AOC responded to him being like, yeah, well, you tried to have me murdered a few weeks ago, so fuck off and sit this one out.
Yeah.
Now, the best thing you can do is resign.
Yeah.
It's like, yep, good job.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they're basically the SEC is, say, the commission is working closely with our regulatory partners to ensure that regulated entities uphold their obligations to protect investors and identify and pursue potential wrongdoing. We will act to protect retail investors, which are the normal people getting involved, when the facts demonstrate abusive or manipulating trading activity as prohibited by the federal securities laws. I was like, yeah, we're going to look into this stuff. I think part of the Robinhood thing is that at one point, over half of their the people on their service had owned GameStop stock. And so, like, they may not have had the funds in case everybody wanted to sell at once. So they had to really round up a bunch of finance for that. But it's also like, yeah, maybe don't do things that look obviously like you're trying to collude against them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah. But unfortunately, not all of our assholes are involved with this. We got other assholery that is not involved, too, including everybody's favorite gaggle of assholes, anti-vaxxers. Because, see, down in Los Angeles, specifically in Dodger Stadium, they were going to have a huge vaccine drive there. And then, because, of course, this is L.A. we're talking about, there's always that one part of L.A. that is, you know.
Yeah.
Too well off to not have to worry about real shit, so they end up worrying about fake shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
They ended up gathering at Dodger Stadium to block people from getting into the stadium to get vaccinated. And so the whole operation had to be shut down.
Yeah, for the day. Which, I mean, I would imagine the next tomorrow we'll have cops policing things. Because, yeah, you can't have this. Have these people blocking them. Yeah, anti-vaccine and far-right groups were involved in this.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, this is the same kind of area where I had seen the story about rich people just offering clinics straight up like $10,000 to let them cut in line to get a vaccine shot.
Yeah.
I was like, no, you can't pay. I'm sure some places are doing that because, you know, people do that. But we need them to not be paying their way into this. They can sit back and relax for a while.
Yep. And then, finally, for our assholes of the week, this casino executive in Canada actually traveled out to a remote community just so he could get a vaccine that was meant for the indigenous population.
Yep. Yeah, he and his wife traveled to Beaver Creek, Community of 100 in Canada's Yukon Territory, where a mobile team was administering the Moderna vaccine to locals, including elderly members of the White River First Nation. And, yeah, they posed as local motel employees to receive the vaccine. So they had to act like poor people to get this vaccine, which is hilarious. And in response, they've been fined $2,300 Canadian dollars for breaking public health rules, which I'm sure they can afford. So, you know, fun.
Yeah, fun for everyone. Unfortunately, it wasn't all assholes. We do have a couple of heroes of the week. First and foremost, Janet Yellen, who was officially confirmed as the first woman to be Treasury Secretary.
Yep, it was an 84-15 vote. I'm not sure the ones that voted against it, but it's probably the usual rogues gallery. See, one of the no votes, Senator Dan Sullivan of Alaska, Republican, said he appreciated Yellen's qualifications for the job, was disappointed that she did not, in a conversation with him, support a, quote, robust all-of-the-above energy sector. I have no idea what that means.
Yeah.
That sounds like him being like, well, you don't support this one specific thing that I want, so fuck you.
Yeah. But anyway, good for her. And also, yes, the impeachment is now official. The House actually physically delivered the articles to the Senate Monday.
Yep.
So if you remembered that whole procession they did the first time this happened, yeah, they did it again.
Senator John Cornyn, as if Congress starts holding impeachment trials of former officials, what's next? Could we go back and try President Obama? I mean, sure, but there's nothing to impeach him on. Literally didn't have anything that major. So sure, go ahead and try. It's just like they're trying to impeach Biden already. Oh, yeah, I didn't even put these on here, but yeah, people have been digging into Marjorie Taylor Greene's past. Filming herself going and harassing David Hogg weeks after...
Yeah.
He survived the Parkland shooting.
Yeah, and then there's the thing about her weird like conspiracy theory about the California wildfires that they were supposedly
created
started
by.
by outer space lasers that were controlled by the Rothschild Group or something. Yeah, it's
Yeah, which got people on Twitter talking about the Jewish space lasers.
yeah, and
All
then
that anti-Semitic
there's
stuff.
that whole yeah, and then there's the shit that's been happening with Cori Bush because apparently Cori Green's people have been harassing her and her staff, so she's actually moving her office.
Yeah.
This woman
Yeah, so.
represents my state, y'all.
Yeah, a stupid part of the state.
Yeah.
Which apparently she had opposition that pulled out because they were getting threatened by her people.
Yeah, like I said, that's why Cori Bush is moving her office.
Yeah, and what else? They found Facebook posts of her suggesting that like Nancy Pelosi needs to be shot and various other people in Congress and video of her wanting to go and run down the or not run down, but find Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib and have them swear on the Bible after getting sworn into the Congress. You don't need to get swear on anything when you get sworn in, not even a Bible. You
Nope.
can just do like the Pledge of Allegiance or whatever. People have gotten sworn in on the Constitution or a book they like, whatever.
The Quran, yeah. They
Yeah.
it's all
That's what those
the
two swore on.
Tanakh. Yeah. But yeah. Anyway, the woman's nuts and she needs to be removed because she's definitely a danger to everyone else.
Yeah. But she was also, David Hogg was tweeting about it on Twitter, and she responded to it, and somebody gave her a nice smack back. I'm going to see if I can find the thing I was looking at. Oh, yeah, here it is. The big difference between you and David Hogg is that when his institution was attacked, he didn't tweet out the location of potential victims. So, you know. Her and, was it Lauren Boebert? Need to be taken out. Take Ted
Yeah.
Cruz and all them assholes with her.
Yeah.
They're all dangers.
Yeah. Well, moving on from there, we now go on to the proper show proper, and unfortunately, we got some celebrity deaths, and as always, they happen in threes, so this week we lost famous talk show host Larry King, actress Cloris Leachman, and the iconic Hollywood legend Cicely Tyson.
Yep. Yeah, Larry King was 87. Had
Yeah.
recently gotten COVID, but I don't think they've said if this was related to any of that. It didn't seem like he was in particularly great shape either way. But yeah, he was one of the people that helped put CNN on the map. So yeah, that's a big loss for the cable news industry. Cloris Leachman's one of the most prolific women in the movie industry. Been on lots of shows and movies. I know her. I didn't really realize it was her until after her death, but she was in Young Frankenstein. Yeah, lots of good work for her. So, and she won a
Oh,
bunch
yeah.
of Emmys, I think it was. So yeah, she was very prolific. And yeah, Cicely Tyson, one of the iconic black women in Hollywood, set the standard for every black actor in Hollywood since she started.
Yeah.
Yeah, in pretty much every big role you could find, she was in Roots. She's
Oh,
played a
yeah.
bunch of iconic black figures. So yeah, that is three big losses for the entertainment industry.
All right. But yeah. So moving on from there, we're gonna pull up the garage door and back out the COVID-19 dump truck again. And it's not all bad news, fortunately. First and foremost, as everybody knows, COVID has kind of mutated so somewhat in the last couple of months. There are a new variant that isn't really different as far as like the symptoms and the effects are, but it is more contagious.
Yeah, some of them are.
Now, it seems more or less that the regular vaccinations that are already out there are already good against it. But obviously, when you've got a mutation like that, just to be safe, you want to make sure that, you know, you can create a booster that can work specifically against those variants. And Moderna is making a booster shot specifically for that purpose.
Yeah, they've got two options they're working on. One is aimed at the South African variants, and the other is aimed at the K variant.
Yeah.
So yeah, they'll have those available at some point, but yeah, we're starting to see some of these other variants start to show up in the U.S., so even people saying, you know, even if you've got your shots, still keep wearing the mask. Because we still don't know sort of the ability for you to transmit the virus and all that, even after you've gotten it. Just because it can make you immune to it, it might not mean you still can't transmit it if you get it.
Yeah. But good. Also, Johnson & Johnson have been working. They've got a one-shot vaccine that it's showing promise.
Yeah. It's. See where the details here. Yeah, they had a one dose option in 44,000 people in the U.S., Latin America, and South Africa. Seemed to be about 66% efficacy for that test in preventing moderate to severe COVID-19. Mm-hmm. About 85% against the most serious symptoms, and showing no serious side effects. Yeah, it worked better than the U.S. 72% effective against moderate to severe COVID-19. Whereas 66% in Latin America and 57% in South Africa. So it might not be super great against like the South African variant. So
yeah,
some of this is still going to keep working on, but we'll see how that goes.
Mm-hmm. But if you were wondering if any of those variants were here in the U.S., they already are. South Carolina ended up reporting the first known case of the South African variant right here within our borders. So,
yep. Yeah, two cases in South Carolina involve adults in the eastern part of the state and did not provide any more details about them. No known travel history, no connection between the two cases either. So, yeah. So,
all right.
Stay safe, people.
All right. Yeah. And speaking of vaccinations, back in Seattle, they had a bunch of vaccines ready to go in a freezer, but then that freezer malfunctioned late that very night. So that ended up leading to this fast action to try and get this vaccine into as many people as they could. And because of it, hundreds of people in Seattle have now been vaccinated.
Yep. Yeah, they basically called out for hundreds of people over the age of 65 to come in. Many of which were waiting past midnight, trying to get as many doses into people before it's would no longer be effective. So yeah, good time to have this happen, you know, in winter time.
Yeah, in the winter time, yeah, and especially in the Pacific Northwest.
Yep.
So let's see. Oh yeah, and then California. California is not having a good time right now.
No.
We mentioned L.A. previously. L.A. has basically is not, it's bad. It's bad. The hospitals are full up. The funeral homes are basically completely overstuffed.
Yeah, they're having to kind of lift the air quality regulations because they are having to cremate these people and it's causing like smog in the air.
Yeah. And as Which all of this was happening, and just as the numbers started to decline, Gavin Newsom decided it was time to lift the stay-at-home orders.
Yeah. It seems like a weird whole thing to do. I don't know what sort of forces he's been having, pushing him to open up or whatever, but that's the thing that every state's having to wrestle with, because their numbers were just starting to go down, but it's not to the degree that, like, you can do anything safely.
Nope. And then there's also New York, because it turned out that the rates they had of people dying in the nursing homes from COVID turned out to be a lot higher than they had originally said it was. And now Governor Cuomo has announced that he's allowing restaurants to open up for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, the 25% cap, and small weddings can happen as well.
Mm-hmm.
Of up to like 150 people starting March 15th, which is like, if you got a spouse that says they want to go out to eat for Valentine's Day, you need to tell them to sit down. Mm-hmm. This is not a good time to be going.
Yeah.
Unless you both have your shots, I guess.
And, you know, unless you're already vaccinated. Yeah.
But even then, I would just say, like, let's just order out.
Yeah.
Like, don't even bother. You can give them the business, but not have to actually stay there.
Yeah. Just like, it's not
put a good movie on at home and enjoy yourselves.
Yeah. Just it's just not a good idea to do it right now. Especially not in New York or California. Yeah. So, we'll go ahead. Back up the truck, back into the garage. Join us again next week, because we will once again have more COVID-19 stuff to talk about. And, you know, just to remind you, be safe out there. You know, remember the basics that everyone's been telling you to do. And, you know, if vaccines are available and, you know, you're in line to get one, go get one.
Yeah.
Moving on from there, we mentioned the impeachment earlier. Well, the Senate voted to confirm that the impeachment trial will actually, continue. So it's, I believe they announced the beginning date would be, I think, February 8th, I think, which is,
the week of February 8th.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had a vote to potentially just kill it right there and managed to get 45 Republicans voting to kill it. Mm-hmm. Only five didn't, which includes names you heard of: Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, Mitt Romney, Ben Sasse, and Pat Toomey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody else decided, you want to keep fucking around.
Mm-hmm. All right. So anyway, moving on from there, we now go to the Biden administration. They've now been in office for about 9 or 10 days now.
Yeah.
And have already done a bunch of stuff. Biden this week signed an executive order that reversed Trump's ban on transgender people in the military.
Yep. Reversing a very stupid order he had.
Mm-hmm. That was completely unneeded and unwarranted.
Yeah.
And furthermore, he also signed a few more executive orders addressing racial inequality.
Yeah, there are four of them here. Let me see. The one directed the Justice Department not to renew federal contracts with private prisons federal contract. So, yeah. That was one of the things he campaigned on, eliminating the federal government's use of private prisons. He established that it is a policy of his administration to condemn and denounce anti-Asian bias, specifically addressing anti-Asian bias in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
The president will be working with the Department of Health and Human Services and Department of Justice on that matter. Issued a memorandum to the Department of Housing and Urban Development. He said we'll redress historical racism in federal housing policies. And he also took steps on Tuesday to reaffirm the federal government's commitment to tribal sovereignty and consultation.
All right.
Yeah, all good stuff.
Yeah. He's only been in office about 10 days, and already he's done more good than Trump did in 4 years.
Yeah.
Next up, we also got another confirmation. Anthony Blinken Again, he's going to be confirmed as Secretary of State.
Yep, 78-22.
Yep.
No succeeding Mike Pompeo. Yep, so that'll be good to have somebody that's got a actual experience.
Yeah. Furthermore, some more good news. The Department of Justice is launching a probe into whether any foreign or former or current officials tried to overturn the election.
Yeah.
Wow, they're gonna have to cast a wide net for that one.
Yeah. As they say, engaged in an improper attempt to overturn the results of the 2020 presidential election. Mm-hmm. Inspector General Michael Horowitz said Monday that the investigation will investigate allegations concerning the conduct of former and current Justice Department officials, but will not extend to other government officials. So yeah, this is like another watchdog investigation for them. Because mm-hmm. there's definitely evidence that's piling up suggesting that Trump had a meeting before the attack to gather up funding and all this kind of stuff to, you know, essentially like rally the troops, try and steal this whole thing.
Yeah. Now let's hope some actual consequences come out of this.
Yeah.
Anyway, since the beer belly putsch of January 6th, we've been finding out more and more facts about what actually went down there. And this week we discovered that, you know, those pipe bombs, those IEDs that were found in the Capitol as all this shit was happening. We found out this week that they had actually been placed there the night of January 5th.
Yeah.
The thing is, if you read this and pay attention, they were timed using egg timers. And the thing is about egg timers is they don't really extend that far out, meaning that somebody would have had to come back around and physically crank these things a short time before they would have gone off.
Yeah. They're trying to figure out who the person was because they have a video of it, but he's wearing, you know, hoodie and mask and all that, and it's hard to tell exactly who it is. Mm-hmm. But they got a wanted poster for that, $100,000 for anybody that can give them good information to find who it is.
Yeah. I know some other stuff has since been discovered too. Like we don't have this on here, but apparently some of the people involved in the riot had managed to get a hold of a map of all the tunnels that were underneath the city that led into the Senate chamber.
Yeah.
So once again, this was not just some random riot. This was a pre-planned attempt.
Or using the riot as like cover.
Yeah. The only reason none of this it didn't go as bad as it did is because these guys were so horribly incompetent at everything they did.
Yeah, and the security the Senate and the House had was good enough to get them out of there early enough.
Mm-hmm.
To avoid the really bad stuff.
Yep. So anyway, now for some good news. President Biden announced that he's recommitting to getting Harriet Tubman on the $20 bill as soon as possible to replace that racist genocidal fuckwit out at President Jackson.
Yeah. Yeah, that's supposed to happen in the past couple of years, but got delayed because of Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Calling it pure political correctness, which is like, yeah, correcting a wrong.
What's unusual, as countries go, we're actually unusual in the fact that we keep the people on our money as long as we do.
Well, we used to not have anybody on the bills and the coins.
Yeah.
I think in the wake of Lincoln's assassination, they're like, oh, maybe we should, to honor him.
Mm-hmm.
Then you put them on the penny and the $1 bill, honorable bills. They go on the strippers and use it for cocaine.
Yeah.
Coins that nobody picks up if they're on the ground.
Yeah. But, yeah, so getting Tubman on the front of the 20. For the record, there is like a stamp that you can buy on Etsy that'll let you go ahead and do it legally. But actually, like having it physically on the bill would be pretty good. Not gonna lie.
Yeah. I feel like when you get a bill and somebody's written some stupid shit on there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, at least I can spend this.
Yeah. Anyway. Oh, yeah. As for what I was talking about earlier, Dominion. Yes, they filed a defamation suit against Rudy Giuliani to the tune of, what was it, like $2.6 billion?
$1.3.
Okay, $1.3 billion in damages.
Yep.
And they probably have a case here.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, here's the thing that someone pointed out to me, though, that's really going to make this interesting is they just have to file the case successfully. Then they're going to end up having to do discovery. Can you imagine the shit they're going to find during discovery?
Yeah. 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 He's also in trouble with the Lincoln?
Lincoln Foundation. Report? Yeah.
Lincoln Foundation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're, he was threatening them with something and they responded basically saying, like, you're a fucking idiot, basically. With the whole big thing that, which is like, here's all the stupid shit you've said in the past few years. I basically started like, you used to be a respectable person, but you've made your fall, public spectacle for the last so years, whatever.
He was never respectable. He just got lucky that one time.
Well, remember the Lincoln Project are Republicans.
Well, yeah, that's true.
To them, he is respectable. As much as liberals parade the shit they do, they're only doing it because they want, you know, old style of Republicans back in office.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that ship has sailed so far away.
Yeah.
It's all these crazy people.
But, yeah. So, yeah, sue the pants off them. Also, we found out this week that Ohio Senator Rob Portman will not be running for re-election in 2022.
Thank fucking God.
And I think basically the reason he gave is like, I can't fucking stand it there anymore.
Yeah, he said, let's see, what's the quote? It's like we live in an increasingly polarized country where members of both parties are being pushed further to right and to the left. It means too few people are actually looking to find common ground. All this kind of stuff. It's like you helped create this.
Mm-hmm.
You're fucking quitting because I don't know why. But yeah, you said, I don't think any Senate office has been more successful in getting things done. But honestly, it has gotten harder and harder to break through the partisan gridlock, make progress on substantive policy that has contributed to my decision. Like, that's literally because of your party and Mitch McConnell.
Mm-hmm.
That has been their goal for however long he has been in charge of the Senate Republicans. It's like, go ahead and quit, but you helped create this situation.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Jim Jordan has said he's not going to run for this spot, which is good.
He said and basically, it doesn't mean he won't.
Yeah. Yeah, it's still 2 years off, but besides him, there's kind of no clear front runner for who could run for this spot.
Mm-hmm.
The other one they list here is J.D. Vance. Mm-hmm. He's the author of the book Hillbilly Elegy.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Mandel, who dropped out of the 2018 GOP primary race to challenge Senator Sherrod Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And John Husted, the state's lieutenant governor.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like basically saying, like, yeah, we don't know who is going to be the front runner for this. I don't know who the front runner is on the Democrat side.
Mm-hmm.
Could be maybe Tim Ryan, who's in the House right now.
Yeah,
Who's been pretty good on that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That might be a good run. But but said he has not made a decision yet, but he's considering a bid. Which, hey, let's go and make it blue somehow, but everything else being red.
Mm-hmm.
Give us another seat there. But
yeah.
Yeah. So we're getting rid of one coward.
Yeah. Now we're moving on from political stuff to the entertainment world. First and foremost, we now know who's going to be part of the pregame festivities in the Super Bowl, which is coming up. Once again, Tom Brady's going to be there. The fuck?
Yeah.
Who are the Patriots playing again this year?
It's not the Patriots.
Oh.
He's with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Ah. Right.
They're playing last year's winners, Kansas City.
All right. Okay. Well, anyway, Amanda Gorman's going to be part of the pregame festivities this year. So,
yeah, she's going to recite some poetry.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be nice change of pace.
Yeah.
Because there's not going to be too many, like, pregame festivities as far as crowds and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, yes, if you are remembering, yes, she is the one who gave the poem at the beginning at the Biden inauguration, who basically became the star of that whole event. And there she is getting ready to star again. So,
yep.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
Yep.
Let's see. Budweiser is making a commitment saying they will not be airing an ad during the Super Bowl this time, saying they're going to be replacing it with an ad to get vaccinated, but its other brands will. So,
yeah, it's like one of these other things, like Pepsi said the same thing. Then it's like, oh, but Mountain Dew and Doritos will still be having ads. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, then you still are doing ads. Mm-hmm. Just because your one brand isn't, doesn't mean the others won't. But I guess the whole thing is like Pepsi, Coke, Budweiser, like some of the iconic Super Bowl ad companies.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like Bud Light's not exactly that much different as far as advertising. Just probably won't see the Clydesdales, I guess.
Mm, probably.
But still, it's that, and I forget what their other brand is. They said would be having something.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's two of the other mm-hmm. alcohol brands still be doing stuff, so whatever. They'll probably put out ads of their own, like just not Super Bowl ads. So I think whoever's hosting the Super Bowl this year, whatever station, said they've sold out all of their ad time.
Yeah. All right. Next up, we now know that a Cloverfield sequel is in the works, and we mean like a. I think that by that we mean like a direct sequel,
not like another spinoff for universe. Something that happens in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
It's J.J. Abrams' Bad Robot Productions is working on this again with Paramount.
Yep.
The showrunner for the Batman,
mm-hmm.
Joe mm-hmm. Barton, is writing the script for this. That's about it for what we know. I think the other thing is that it won't be using the found footage format that the original did.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. That was...
Mm-hmm.
Geez, that was 13 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I still really like that movie. It's a really nice way of presenting that kind of thing. Even though there's some parts of it that don't make any sense. Because the way they present the normal stuff on the card. Is they present it like a way that you would record over a VHS tape. That's not how, like, recording footage onto an SD card works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of stuff. But, hopefully it's good. Some of the spinoffs have been good. Others have not. Like I said, 10 Cloverfield Lane was really good. The Cloverfield Paradox was an alright thing.
Mm-hmm. Alright, next up. That infamous Snyder Cut of the Justice League movie will finally be out on HBO Max on March 18th. We do, of course, have to remind people that the Snyder Cut is actually something that is completely manufactured. there was not an actual Snyder Cut until calls for the Snyder Cut were made.
Yeah, until he signed the deal to release it. But yeah, you'll be able to watch it on HBO Max here in about a month and a half. I'll be curious to see how it is. I should probably actually watch Justice League first. But the Snyder Cut people have, you know, started going wild.
Yeah.
Like, sure, whatever.
Whatever. I don't think it's really
going to make it'll be all, right.
all that better. Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be okay, but it's not really going to make the movie all that better.
Because I know they did like a rework of the bad guy, Steppenwolf.
Mm-hmm.
And he just looks ridiculous. I don't know if you saw that image a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's just like, okay, it's like a million pieces of metal just strapped to him.
Mm.
So I guess it doesn't look any better than the other model. Or whatever. But I have seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez, that's how good a movie it was. I forgot that I had seen it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I haven't seen it, and yet I feel no urge to see it.
It's all right. Which is not what you want out of the big tent pole. Hey, we got all the people together for this one.
Yeah. Yeah. And now for probably the big thing that other big entertainment thing that happened this week. We finally got a trailer for Godzilla versus Kong.
Yep. This looks like it's going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
All the kind of dumb stuff you want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, which I do need to watch the Kong movie, the Kong Skull Island.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen that yet, but I watched the Godzilla movies. They're good, dumb, fun. This seems to be similar to that. So they hinted at these two species used to exist in numbers before the humans showed up. Mm-hmm. And Kong has a spear that can counter Godzilla's laser. So he uses that to fight him. And it's like, yeah, sure, whatever. That works.
Yeah.
He's got to have a way to counter the laser thing. And they're like, oh, Godzilla's evil for some reason. I don't know. This is weird. So yeah, it is pretty weird.
Godzilla, to be completely honest, Godzilla, his like whole alignment or whatever, as far as, you know, his franchise goes, has never really been clear.
It's usually he's protecting the humans, but when it serves their purposes, he can be evil.
Yeah.
It's whatever the story
wants. Like in the very first Godzilla movie, like the first original Japanese one that Toho Productions put out.
Yeah.
He was less a villain and more of like a force of nature.
Yeah.
And
like he is a representation of the atomic bombing of Japan.
Yeah.
That whole thing with Godzilla.
Nuclear weapons in general. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like the representation of like, this is what could have happened as a result of that, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
A fantastical kind of result of that.
Yeah.
But now he's fighting a giant gorilla.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's going to be out March 26th. So, hey, if you're going to subscribe to HBO Max at some point, right there in the middle of March is probably pretty good. Mm-hmm. You can watch the Snyder Cut and Godzilla vs. Kong. Mm-hmm. And, all right, this is a good use of $15 or whatever.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And finally, last story we got for here for the night for you. Netflix has announced they're expanding their anime slate with both Skull Island and Tomb Raider anime series.
Yep.
So Skull Island, of course, is in reference to Godzilla. I mean, not Godzilla, King Kong. And Tomb Raider is, of course, Tomb Raider.
Yep. Yeah, they are doing two new Japanese-style animation shows. One featuring the Skull Island. I don't know how much that's going to be Kong-focused. But yeah, let's see. The plot follows shipwrecked characters desperate to survive the most dangerous place on Earth. The island that is home to colossal monsters. Mm-hmm. Including Kong. Okay. Mega Primatus. Sure, I guess that's a way you can have a species be that, sure. Mm-hmm. Produced and written by Brian Duffield. Worked on Underwater and The Babysitter. Okay. Yeah, Lara Croft stepped into the world of Japanese style animation 25 years after her first game experience in 1996. Okay, it picks up after the most recent trilogy of Tomb Raider games.
Mm-hmm.
So the ones where she's on her way to becoming a Tomb Raider for three games.
Mm-hmm.
I think she will actually be a Tomb Raider in this show.
Yeah.
So that could be good, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But Tasha Huo, who worked in on the Witcher anime, Red Sonja, is writing and executive producing this show. It's not going to be good.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be better than the games.
Yeah. Maybe. Can you tell me again what studio is supposed to be working on these?
I think these are Legendary Television.
Ah, okay.
And they partnered with for some of their other stuff.
Yeah, that'll work. All right.
Yeah, they're working on a Pacific Rim series with them. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think there's dates for this stuff yet, so. Well, that'll probably at some point in the next year or so.
Yeah, considering they're just announcing it, it's probably a little ways off.
Well, I think the Tomb Raider one's supposed to be part of the 25th anniversary celebration this year.
Ah,
well, so I think it'll be sometime later this year.
Yeah. All right. Well, then, I do believe we got ourselves a show, folks. So I'd like to remind all of our listeners, if you got a question, comment, something you want us to read on the air, you can get in contact with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. You'll find it linked to it in the show notes. Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at archive.org, RSS, pretty much any kind of podcast aggregator that you can think of. So, yeah, I believe that's everything. So, yeah, we did kind of have a sort of a small party this week, mostly because timing is kind of weird, but... we'll be back for you next week with more stuff to talk about with hopefully more people. And for Chris Logi, I would like to tell all of you, good night, sleep tight, and, you know, stay safe out there. Wear the damn mask.